California's fast-moving flames came dangerously close to the Getty Center Monday, a world-class art museum high above the 405 freeway in Los Angeles. L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti said this latest brush fire broke out in the early morning hours and that no cause is known. It's the latest outbreak in nearly a week of wildfires that have scorched parts of the state.
Virgin Galactic, the space venture backed by Sir Richard Branson, had its liftoff on Wall Street Monday, becoming the first space tourism company to hit public markets. Virgin stock rose at the open, trading above $12 under the ticker name SPCE on the New York Stock Exchange.
The president is right about one thing. Violent crime in the United States declined last year for the second consecutive year, according to FBI statistics. National murder rate fell by 6%, but it was Chicago that set the table for those reductions. Since 2016, gun violence in this city is down by almost 40%. We've made double-digit reductions in robberies, burglaries, and auto thefts, being at 20-year lows, while instilling a philosophy of community policing that centers around trust, transparency, and accountability.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's October the 29th, and it's 5:09 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've got lots of ground to cover this morning, including focusing in on your money and a new report, too, about crash test bias. I don't know if you've heard about this, but a little bit later in the program, Keith Berry will be here from Consumer Reports. Test bias in crash test could be putting female drivers at risk. That's at 5:38 this morning. First up this morning, we're going to talk a lot about your money. Anne-Marie Fitzpatrick will be with us, Financial Fitness Program Manager at HOME DuPage, the organization that helps personal budget, understanding credit reports, helps you get ready to buy a home. Lots of money talk with Anne-Marie this morning. We'll welcome her onto the program in just a few minutes. Of course, we'll also keep you posted on the latest news, weather, sports, and traffic as we move through the 5 o'clock hour as well. Here on 720 WGN. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed higher on Wall Street, with the S&P 500 at a record high yesterday. Strong earnings from AT&T and other companies, along with U.S.-China trade progress, or at least perceived progress, helped boost markets. This morning, as we look at the futures market, we're expecting opening losses on Wall Street, with Dow futures off nearly a quarter of a percent, down 64 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower fractionally. As we look over to Europe, markets are generally in the red. In London, down by more than a half a percent. In Germany, down by nearly a third. In France, off by nearly a quarter of a percent. And in Asia, a mixed day as the trading day winds to an end there. In Tokyo, the Nikkei up nearly 106 points or a half a percent. In Hong Kong, lower by 104 points. In China, lower by nearly three quarters of a percent, and oil is trading at $55.24 a barrel in the United States. A couple of stories as we begin this morning from the business ticker. Walgreens is cutting costs, including laying off employees at the drugstore chain's corporate headquarters here in the Chicago area. The company declined to say how many jobs are being cut, only that it's part of a plan to reduce expenses by nearly $1.8 billion by 2022. Earlier this year, Deerfield-based Walgreens announced plans to close nearly 200 stores. Humana is planning to lay off nearly 800 people nationwide by the end of the year. The 800 people to be laid off make up about 2% of the health insurer's workforce. Those being let go are being notified the next couple of days. The company says it has about 2,000 open positions that could go to the employees whose jobs are being eliminated. And those with Apple phones can now text a yawning smiley face, a sloth, or an otter. Those are among the 60 new emojis released yesterday. But the biggest focus is on inclusion and diversity. For example, people in wheelchairs, seeing eye dogs, and prosthetic limbs. There are also a slew of gender-neutral options and a new way to select the skin tone in the holding hands emoji. The new iOS software added a camera tool as well, allowing for artificial intelligence on iPhone 11. Let's begin this morning with your money. The program is called HOME in DuPage, Home DuPage. That's an acronym for Home Ownership Money Education. And the program manager, financial fitness program manager there, is Anne Marie Fitzpatrick. She's with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Anne Marie, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve.
I have to tell our listeners, we heard you called into the Steve Cochran Show a couple of weeks ago. And I heard your conversation, and it felt like you could help us understand a little bit about money. It sounded like you knew exactly what was going on. So that's where we found you at, and we're happy to have you this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it always is when I have the opportunity to talk about Home DuPage, which is the agency I work for. And we are a small housing counseling agency that provides a full array of financial education and housing counseling services. And as you said, I manage just one piece of what we do there, which is our financial education program. We call it Financial Fitness. And in that program, we address all different areas of personal money management. And the goal truly is to teach the very basics of money management, from budgeting to understanding the importance of credit, the factors of a credit score. We educate folks about the importance of having a banking relationship, not only having it, but we assist them in facilitating getting banked. We also talk about being a savvy consumer, being a smart shopper, making sure that you make those hard-earned dollars stretch as far as you can. And then lastly, we talk about protecting what you own, protecting your assets through insurance, through investing in 401k and tax-deferred savings plans for retirement. And we partner all of that with our one-on-one financial coaching through the Financial Fitness Program. And all services provided through this program are 100% free of charge. What really sets us apart in this program is that the client drives the process. We meet the client where they're at. We coach them, and we encourage them to set their own short-term and long-term financial goals and really work with them one-on-one to achieve those goals for as long as they would like to be engaged in the process. And many of them stay with us for a long time and eventually graduate into our other programs that we offer, one of which is our pre-purchase program, which is really for people really wanting to become homeowners. How do they look attractive to a mortgage lender, and what is that process of becoming a homeowner? We have two workshops dedicated to becoming a homeowner. The first is our Gateway Workshop, which is just a 2.5-hour workshop, really kind of for folks just dipping their toes into the water of, is homeownership a realistic option for me? And then we have our 8-hour intensive workshop, which is our home buyer education workshop, which really goes very deep into becoming a homeowner. We have guest speakers who are attorneys, realtors, home inspectors, as well as our housing counselors who present the workshops, and then also provide the one-on-one housing counseling to help people achieve home ownership. There's also down payment assistance programs and closing cost assistance programs that our housing counselors educate attendees on how to access and actually help them facilitate in receiving those funds. There's also a grant that is really specific to DuPage County residents only, called the Homestead Grant, that our housing counselors assist prospective homeowners in finding out if they're eligible and also receiving it. And that grant is $14,999, $1 less than $15,000, and it is completely forgiven once the homeowner lives in the home for 5 years.
Well, that's nice.
And these programs really are an effort to help people bolster their purchasing power, take people from renting, and, you know, out in DuPage County, rent is, you're practically paying a mortgage, and taking them to that homeownership status that really can solidify their financial future and build their wealth.
Is most of this for people in DuPage County, or can people all over come for these financial fitness workshops?
The programs through our agency are for DuPage County residents. However, people are welcome to call us, and we will refer them to agencies specific to their area where they can access some of these services as well. In addition to those programs, we also have home preservation programs. We have a foreclosure prevention program where we have a housing counselor in the foreclosure court every day in DuPage County. And this is a program that is unique in the country. We are the only agency that has a housing counselor in foreclosure court, so that when families are really, many of them, at their most desperate point in their lives, they can meet with one of our housing counselors who right then and there try to work with them to prevent foreclosure. And then we have our reverse mortgage counseling as well, which we educate usually seniors on their options to stay housed. Due to having fixed incomes, many seniors are finding it difficult to stay in the home that they've lived in their entire lives, they worked their entire life to attain, and our housing counselor educates them. We never steer. We just educate them about their options so they can make an informed decision. And lastly, we just developed, and this is agency program-wide, a workshop called Know Before You Go, Avoiding Student Loan Debt, which we realized, regardless of the program that we were assisting people, that student loan debt was such a barrier to achieving financial goals, whether it was just trying to establish a budget or to purchase your first home or to even stay housed. Student loan debt is an intergenerational financial issue, and it's, you know, a national crisis. It's in the headlines every day. And we created this workshop that is really as much a cautionary tale about avoiding taking on too much debt and understanding the impact of that debt in terms of your life options going forward, as it is an education regarding how to navigate accessing financing for your college education, whether it's through grants and scholarships. We explain different types of loans, government subsidized versus direct loans. We talk about the student award report, the expected family contribution, as well as repayment options when you have government subsidized loans.
Well, the beauty of having you on this morning is that we wanted to dive into some of these topics. We'll do that in just a second, but we're on this morning with Anne Marie Fitzpatrick, Financial Fitness Program Manager at Home DuPage, H-O-M-E. You can find them online at homedupage.org. What makes somebody financially fit in your mind? What is the number one thing that you gauge them by?
I would say the number one thing that we gauge them by is that they're able to be self-sufficient, that they have a solid credit score, they have an emergency savings account, they understand the difference, the distinction between wants and needs, and that they are banked in planning for their future, their financial future.
What would be the number one thing you could tell people today to improve in those areas that they can do right this morning when they get up?
I'll tell you, I think the most important thing is to start with the personal budget. That is step one to really writing your financial future, and start tracking your daily expenses. Find out where you have your financial leaks, whether it's that cup of coffee on the way to work or buying lunch out every day. Those are things that can really amount to meaningful sums of money that, if you know, depending on your value, and that certainly is a personal choice, you could shift to saving. Saving is so important to get that emergency savings to protect us when we have those financial hiccups in the road.
Well, Anne-Marie, I want to invite you back because I think there's a lot of things that we can talk about, whether it's some of the things we've mentioned today, fixing credit or banking, but the number of things, protecting assets, becoming a smart shopper, understanding the credit report. So please come back and we can spend more time talking about some of these things in the future. Would you do that?
Oh, it would be my pleasure. Thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right. Anne-Marie Fitzpatrick, Financial Fitness Program Manager at Home DuPage, H-O-M-E, and that's the acronym for Home Ownership Money Education. You can find them online at homedupage.org.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is Tuesday here in The Opening Bell. Our focus now turns to the business of making sure you drive safely, have a safe time behind the vehicle, wheel of a vehicle. There is something called crash test bias that's in our focus this morning, of male-focused testing and how it puts female drivers at risk. And joining us this morning is Keith Berry, writer and editor for Consumer Reports Cars. Keith, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
This is an interesting story, and one that's a little frightening, too. Talk to us a little bit about this test bias, crash test bias. Is it something with this crash test dummy that seems to be focusing on one sex over the other?
Well, that's what researchers in the safety community think. So Consumer Reports took a look at all the literature that's out there and found that researchers know that that a female vehicle occupant has a 73% greater odds of being seriously injured than a male occupant when a crash takes place, and a 17% more likely to be killed when a crash takes place. And the hypothesis out there is that this has to do with the fact that we do not know how to protect female vehicle occupants because there is no average female crash test dummy right now that is used in crash testing and safety tests.
That has been the case for several decades, hasn't it?
It has. And we've known, I think one of the greater travesties here is that researchers, auto safety advocates, automakers have known that there are differences between male and female bodies and how they react in crashes, down to the level of the interior of bones and ligaments and things that we don't yet understand. It's more than just size. We've known this for at least 40 years.
Keith, talk to us a little bit about more of the numbers here. Is this the case because more men are killed or injured in crashes and the numbers skew that direction? Is that why this crash test dummy situation exists?
Certainly, you know, I talked to some folks who were there at the beginnings of the crash testing, vehicle crash testing in the 1960s and 70s, and certainly back then, men were more likely to be behind the wheel of a car. That gap has changed. Even today, you know, men are more likely to be injured or killed in a car crash in terms of sheer numbers, but that also isn't controlling for things like seatbelt use, drunk driving, speeding. When you take those factors out and the same types of crashes take place, a female occupant is more likely to be injured or killed. And it took a little while, I think, to get to those numbers because for a while, cars were unsafe. And as safety has become safer for everyone, as vehicles have become safer for all occupants, those sort of disparities become more apparent. And we now know things, now know just how great these differences are.
Yeah, and so when you tell us numbers, like female drivers and right front passengers, 17% more likely to be killed, a female, any seatbelt wearing female, again, vehicle occupant, 73% greater odds of being seriously injured, that sounds like a serious, urgent safety issue that needs to be addressed today.
I would definitely agree with that. And it's interesting because if you know, Consumer Reports is definitely not the first organization to report on this. If you look, you will find, you know, articles from earlier this year, 2014, 2011, and it seems like every single time that this gets talked about, just sort of nothing happens. In the 1980s, there was even a proposal for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, requested that a family of dummies get built, including an average female dummy. And budget cuts happened, and eventually it did not get built. And that was in 1983 that budget cut took place. So we've known that this is a problem. This has been written about. This has been talked about by automakers, by safety advocates, by researchers, by journalists, and still nothing has happened. So I think that is where, for me, the real injustice lies.
Yeah, and when you can peel back the covers on this even further, so we do these crash tests to make sure that vehicles are built in a way that are survivable, that we cannot be hurt in them as badly as before. And I think that's been happening over the years. But the lack of the data, the lack of having this crash test dummy be representative of the entire population, what is that doing to how the cars are being manufactured in the first place?
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. So you know, cars are, it's a bit of teaching to the test. Cars are designed to pass safety tests. Safety tests are designed to represent the sort of crashes and injuries that happen in the real world. So, for example, there have been sets of crash tests that have been enacted, new types of crash tests. And at first, the vehicles on the market don't pass. And then the automakers, you know, roll up their sleeves, get out the pencils, redesign the cars, and the cars suddenly, in the next redesign, pass with flying colors. So if we're not testing to find out what happens to a female occupant in a crash, we don't know how to protect that female occupant. And that's a real issue, because we have now probably about four decades worth of research on how to protect the average male body. And even that is an average male from the 1970s, not an average male from today. We have about a similar amount of data on how to protect a very, very small female, which would be similar to, say, a teenager. But we don't know how to protect an average female. And that's an issue also for seniors and also, for larger people as well.
Yeah, and there's a really scary graphic that's included in your report at consumerreports.com that talks about the areas of the body that are most at risk when it comes to women being hurt in car crashes. The numbers of leg injuries and arm injuries and head injuries, neck injuries, are double digits in the cases of leg and arm, more than 50%.
Yeah, something that really sticks out to me is that there are two ways of protecting against whiplash. Essentially, there are two different designs for headrests. One design protects male and female occupants equally. Another design protects male occupants extremely well, but does not protect female occupants as well. And we did not know this until we got real-world data from these systems being out on the roads and looking at what's actually happened from injury data. So it took actually having car crashes and looking what happened to the occupants to find out that there are systems out there that are less protective of women when it comes to whiplash. And we didn't know that during the design process, because at the time, we didn't have any way of testing to tease that information out.
So what needs to happen to move us forward on this? It's not for the lack of technology, because I think given our state of technology these days, we can develop any kind of dummy we want, any kind of crash test situation we want. So what's standing in the way, and what needs to be done to maybe take down that wall?
Certainly. So you're correct that we can develop with the right data. So first, safety researchers would need to collect that data and figure out, because a crash test dummy isn't just, say, a mannequin, you know? It's not just about weight and size. Every piece of that dummy represents the same body part on a human being. And it's, these are, multi-million dollar devices. But in order to get automakers to test with them, in order to get researchers to have the funding to create these dummies, and believe me, they want to. I've spoken with many of them who wish they could. I think, and what I think a lot of the experts and safety advocates I've spoken to have said, is this needs to come from the regulatory level. We need to have something that says that crash tests need to test for all people who drive a vehicle, and that includes women, obviously. So we can't treat them as statistical anomalies. We actually have to test for them. And that has to come from a regulation from an agency like NHTSA that would say that you need to put a 50th percentile, an average female dummy, in a car and have crash test ratings for a female occupant.
Some of this stuff doesn't necessarily happen very quickly. I know in your story you talk about how there's a possibility of maybe taking a couple of decades to have the right kinds of tests put in place. But the story does say that in cases where there's life and limb at risk, the safety researchers can move quickly. You talk about the a situation with airbags.
Yeah, so that is a very interesting story, and I'm sure many of your listeners will remember. In the late 1990s, these high-powered airbags were too high-powered for some vehicle occupants, and children and smaller stature females mostly were being injured or killed in crashes where the airbag was supposed to protect them. So, you know, a bunch of safety researchers and advocates got together. There were new regulations put in place. Some of the testing requirements were relaxed a little bit in order to fast track the process of creating new safety regulations. And within about 3 years, we saw a drop in fatalities because of the fact that airbags were redesigned. And this is something that some people who I have spoken with think may be possible in this situation, especially when it comes to computer modeling. That, you know, it doesn't replace a full crash test dummy, and you still need to do the work to find out how the bones, how the ligaments, how the internal organs react in a crash. So you still need to have the data to put in to create this computer model. But you don't necessarily have to crash a car every time you do a crash test in vehicle development. So, you know, that's one way of getting at this problem as quickly as it deserves to be addressed.
Yeah, because the numbers are adding up day in and day out. It feels like there's a toll that's ticking here, a clock that's ticking, that we need to do something faster sooner than later.
Oh, most definitely. And I'm really glad that we're talking about this, because people have been saying that exact phrase for 20, 30, even 40 years. And it just has not been addressed. So the more that people talk about this, the more that people, when they're talking about safety, if they're speaking with elected representatives and officials, bring this up in conversation, because this is unfair. This is unjust. This is a problem that should not exist. This is an article that I shouldn't have had to have reported on in 2019.
Keith, thank you for being with us this morning and sharing your reporting. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Keith Barry, writer and editor for Consumer Reports Cars. You can find this, and we'll link out to it as well, online at consumerreports.org.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up 46 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are down just a fraction. After a relatively negative day in Asia and a mixed day trading day in Asia, a mixed day trading day in Asia, a down trading day in Europe, markets in Hong Kong off nearly 100 points this morning, and in Europe down nearly 0.5% in London. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, we take a look at the Monday afternoon crop harvest reports, and we find maybe we did catch up a little bit on the five-year average. As of Sunday night, 41% of the nation's corn acres had been harvested. That's below the five-year average of 61%. Illinois, 54%, Indiana, 48%, Iowa, 26%, Wisconsin, 13% of the corn acres harvested. Soybean harvest running ahead of corn, 62% of the nation's soybean acres harvested as of Sunday. And that's below the five-year average of 78%. State by state, Illinois 69%, Indiana 71%, Iowa 66%, and Wisconsin 46% of the soybean acres harvested. In the trade yesterday, the December wheat contract down a nickel, December corn down 3 cents, and November soybeans up 1¾ cents. In the livestock futures trade yesterday, we continued the rally on live cattle prices, thanks to some fairly strong cash prices. The October live cattle contract gained $1.02 a hundredweight. October feeder cattle down 25 cents, and the February lean hog contract gained 97 cents in yesterday's trade at the Mercantile Exchange. A story from Beyond Meat yesterday. It reported its first ever net profit and raised its full-year sales forecast, but its shares tumbled 6.5%. As the vegan burger maker said, it would need to offer more store discounts or promotions as competition in that market heats up. That's agribusiness. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of more stories before we leave you this morning. China is accusing the U.S. of economic bullying behavior after U.S. regulators cited security threats in proposing to cut off funding for Chinese equipment and telecommunications networks. A foreign ministry spokesperson says China would resolutely oppose what he calls an abusive U.S. state power. The Federal Communications Commission votes next month whether to bar telecom companies from using government subsidies to pay for network gear from Huawei. United Airlines is out with a new plan to beat jet lag. The airline has partnered with the app TimeShifter to create a customized sleep plan based on where passengers are traveling to. The app will show when it's time to be asleep or awake to prevent jet lag. United will offer a free trial for everyone, no matter their destination. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, October the 29th. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index for August is due today. Housing industry analyst forecasting a 0.3% rise in prices over July. Also pending home sales for September coming today. The experts see a 1% rise. The FOMC meeting begins, Federal Reserve two-day meeting ahead of a rate-setting announcement tomorrow. We'll also get consumer confidence numbers on the earnings calendar. ConocoPhillips, Grubhub, Allstate, Mondelez, Kellogg, Merck, Pfizer, Xerox, and Mattel all reporting quarterly earnings. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, October the 29th.